One of the questions that I've been kind of struggling with, and I've heard a lot of people talk about, the question is kind of phrased in different ways, but the root of the question is, when we oppose these undemocratic institutions, when we oppose the WTO, when we oppose the IMF and World Bank, when we oppose the National Association of Broadcasters, when we oppose the Planning Commission in San Francisco that has basically been a rubber stamp for developers to be able to get rich off of our misery here in the Mission District, when we as a movement organize to oppose these undemocratic institutions, how can we as a movement organize and work to be a democratic movement, to practice and organize the principles of democracy that we oppose in these institutions? How can we bring the politics of democracy into our organizing? And I think that the example of media with the National Association of Broadcasters, the models that the media follows, the corporate media, gives some insight into our way of organizing as opposed to the way that a hierarchical society such as ours is organized. And one of the things that happened with the explosion of activism in Seattle was the media quickly was looking for the leaders. Who are your leaders? Who are the people who made this happen? Who were the people that were able to organize these tens of thousands of people to come out into the streets? And you had that again in DC, you had that again in Philadelphia and LA, this insistent demand of who are your leaders, because there's no way that all of you could have organized this yourselves. There's no way that you could have all come together and shut down Seattle and held power in one of the major cities of the United States without having some sort of central leadership, a central council telling everyone what to do. The models of organizing in this society are based upon a very few people making the decisions which impact most of our lives. And so as a movement, how can we continue, not in this leaderless movement, but in a movement in which all of us are empowered to be leaders, all of us empowered to be organizers, all of us empowered to be creators of the movement that we're a part of. So how can we do this? How can we stay true to the claims of democracy, which we're protesting out in the streets, saying that we have a lack of in this country? How can we practice that in the streets? And for me, when I think about these questions, I look to one of the most amazing movements that rocked this country, the civil rights movement. And again, within that movement, you had these tensions of the media looking to who are the leaders, looking to the great speeches made by Martin Luther King, looking to the major actions that happened and saying, who is the leadership of the civil rights movement? And while Martin Luther King and the leadership of the civil rights movement were amazing people who had amazing organizing skills, there were people who were hardly ever recognized by the media and hardly recognized in the history books. Like, how many people here know who Ella Baker is? Ella Baker and the style of organizing that Ella Baker practiced is the kind of organizing models that we need to look to, the kind of organizing tradition that we, in our resistance to hierarchy, in our commitment to anti-authoritarian democratic practices, the models of organizing that Ella Baker was practicing in the 40s, in the 50s, in the 60s, in the 70s are models that we can learn from. Ella Baker was an organizer who started in Harlem organizing during the Great Depression. And what her commitment was to building grassroots movement, not looking to a few people, civic leaders or politicians, to solve the problems that we faced. But Ella Baker firmly believed that all of us had a capacity to make decisions which impacted our lives. She practiced a kind of leadership called group-centered leadership, meaning that leadership that comes from a group and leadership in which the goal of leadership is to build more leadership, to develop the group, to bring in more people, to build people's capacities to organize for themselves. Ella Baker helped start the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee in 1960, one of the most radical, cutting-edge civil rights organizations, any kind of organization you want to think of in United States history. The Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee was kicked off with a student sit-in movement that swept through the South, going to lunch counters, going to swimming pools, going to libraries, going to any of these public facilities that were denied to anyone who wasn't white. The Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee practiced community organizing with the belief that the people in communities who are oppressed can have self-determination. The people who are oppressed, that where there is oppression, there will be resistance. And while there needs to be organizing, while there needs to be building of movement, the people who are most impacted by oppression have the capacities to build and organize a movement for their own liberation. And so when we look to models of how to make our movement now not only democratic, but radical, radical with the intention of bringing down all of the institutions which oppress us now, to bring down white supremacy, to bring down patriarchy, to eradicate and end forever capitalism, to bring down all forms of authoritarianism which keep the bulk of humanity all over the planet down, which keep the planet itself down in the pursuit of profit. And so Ella Baker is someone that all of us should not only know about, but look to in terms of models, not blueprints, not something where you take what somebody was doing in the 1960s as this is what we must do now, but as models in terms of how can we organize today in ways that will build all of our capacities to be able to be active participants in a movement for radical democracy. Because there will never be a movement for radical democracy led by a few people that's going to make social change that's meaningful. In order for there to be a movement for radical democracy, that means all of us participating actively in the movement, building the movement, developing the organizing strategies, carrying out the tactics, setting our own goals of what is success. A movement for radical democracy means not only challenging illegitimate forms of oppression, challenging undemocratic institutions like the WTO, but also trying to put into practice the principles of cooperation, of mutual aid, of solidarity. And that means us having insight, creativity, and bringing passion to our work that goes far beyond opposing the injustices, which are enormous and must be challenged. But in the process of us challenging injustice, we must continually put forward vision of liberation, and we must continually try to act and organize in a manner consistent with our politics and our principles. And so again, when we think of the National Association of Broadcasters, and when we think of media and the impact that has on our movement, where the media is obsessed with developing celebrities, wanting to develop celebrity activists to put all their attention onto while they ignore the rest of us, wanting to firmly believe, because they can't come to terms with the idea that all of us have creativity, that all of us have organizing abilities that we bring to this movement. So the media wants to create celebrities that lead our movement, and they want to make the rest of us in as spectators, like the viewers that they look to for their entertainment, spectators who just show up at action, show up at rallies, and just go along with whatever the leadership has decided. And that's not the movement that we want. The movement we want is when thousands of people come into the street and are organized, each with their goals, each with their own vision of what this movement's about, and bringing creativity to the actions. That's what's been amazing about a lot of the organizing that's been happening this past year, is people not just showing up waiting to be told what to do, but people showing up with affinity groups, people showing up with their group from whether it's a church, whether it's a union, whether it's from campus, whether it's from the neighborhood, coming to these events with their own goals, their own agenda, their own politics, and their own desires for what this movement's going to be. One of the other people who was supposed to speak tonight was Yasmin from the Independent Media Association, who's an amazing organizer with the Independent Press Association, which is all about challenging the racial injustices of corporate media. And it's not just corporate media that practices racial injustice. I mean, you look back to the independent press of the 1800s, family-owned newspapers that were arguing for getting rid of Chinese immigration or outlawing any kind of, you know, especially in California, where you had independent family-owned papers arguing for, you know, bosses to be able to get away with whatever they wanted, for immigrant labor coming from Asia to be outlawed. So unfortunately, tonight we have two people who were speaking and Yasmin wasn't able to show up. But part of being a democratic movement is also challenging that which exists in our society. What exists in our society is not just that there's a few people who have power, but the people who have power are generally white, are generally male, and have power based on not just capitalism, which we must all oppose, but also based on white supremacy and based on patriarchy. And so if we as a movement want to not just overthrow capitalism and build a democratic movement, then at our core, at our very core in our movement, we must have commitment to not just multiracial organizing, but anti-racist organizing and feminist organizing. So just to close, one of the other things that I think that as a movement trying to put into practice our politics of radical democracy, media can't be a goal of ours. Media, corporate media, trying to get our actions into the press, trying to get the big step takeover that happened today in the Mission District into the press is important, but getting media isn't a goal in and of itself. It's part of a longer strategy. Having media coverage of our actions, having people interviewed by corporate media, and definitely supporting independent media centers and alternative press everywhere has to be part of our long-term strategy. And I think that in general as a movement, what we've been talking about since LA and Philadelphia is, where are we going? We can't keep doing these mass mobilizations. And I think that in the tradition of a democratic movement, that all of us need to bring goals to this. And so just really quick to close, I just want to read a couple of the goals that I have, as well as what I've heard a lot of other people talk about in terms of goals. And the first goal, I think, is to develop our capacity and our ability to critique existing society. So that means having race analysis, that means having class analysis, having a critique of what currently exists. The second goal is to develop our ability to envision a radically transformed society. That definitely the injustices which exist today can bring us out into the streets. But unless we're having vision, unless we're actively talking about what we would like to see and what we want to create, then our movement only goes so far. So the second goal is to be able to develop our ability to vision a radically different society. I think the third goal for our movement is to develop our sense of power, our power to have control over our lives, our power collectively to shape and change history. I think the fourth goal is to actively participate in building movement that is fundamentally multiracial, anti-racist, as well as feminist, as well as queer liberationist, with a commitment to ending capitalism and all forms of oppression. The fifth goal is to work for collective liberation while we build these movements. That's the goal of the movement, is collective liberation. That doesn't mean free enterprise, individuals can rise to the top. It means collective liberation, going back to the old labor slogan, an injury to one is an injury to all, where all of our freedom is contingent on the freedom of others. And then for me, the sixth goal is, after the revolution, to have time to read all of the books that AK Press distributes. Because that's a definite goal for me.